name is Emery Roy. I am a retired Presbyterian clergyman. I was born and raised in North Dakota in the little town of St. John up on the Canadian border, about 3 miles from Canada, and went to school there, graduated high school, and spent some time there after graduation, doing some odd jobs. Didn't go to college right away because I was still at the end of the Depression years of the 30s. I graduated in 1938 and then went in the service in 1943. I was sent to the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks to radio school and learned Morse code, and then was in basic training in California, and following basic training I went overseas to Europe, landing in England first and spending the time there from February until the landing on the beach in Normandy. And about 30 days after the Normandy landing, the unit that I was with went to the mainland of Europe. I was in a combat engineer battalion attached to 3rd Army Headquarters, General Patton's Army, and served my year and a half in Europe with the 3rd Army, with this combat battalion. The battalion itself was trained to build bridges. That was our chief responsibility. I did not have an opportunity to make use of my Morse code training because where we were and such, it just wasn't, we were not actually in combat. So there was not need for that type of communication. So I did some other things. I was a Jeep driver for a while and had some kind of general duties like that. And then at the end of the war, I had an interesting experience. I was sent for about 3 months to Norway with a contingent of Allied troops to send back the German soldiers that were in Norway when the war ended, and to destroy their military equipment that they had there, and then help Norway kind of get ready for living without being occupied by the Germans. And then I returned to the United States and was discharged from the Army then after 2.5 years in the service. My memories of the war was that I'm glad I had the experience. I feel that it helped me in a lot of ways to be more mature, and having grown up in a small community, never having had a chance to do any traveling, it gave me a chance to see some of the world and meet other people. And my memories have to do, I guess, mostly with not only the American troops that I got acquainted with. I was in a unit primarily made up of men from the New York City area. So they were Easterners, and that was a new part of the country really for me as far as knowing any people. One of my experiences that I've often thought about was, especially in the closing days of World War in Germany, where I was, there really weren't a lot of, there wasn't really a front line. It was just kind of, everything was moving very fast, and we didn't have camps that we operated from. We just kind of almost operated on the run, because the Third Army especially was advancing so rapidly that it was mostly on the move. And one of the things that we did when we went into a town in the evening to stop for the night, we were allowed to ask a family to move out of their home so we could occupy it for the night. And one particular night we did this. It was a family, I think it was a three-generation family, and there were some smaller children and grandparents, and there was a mother of the children, but the father, I think, was in the service, was in the German army, and we were not supposed to visit with them. We were not supposed to fraternize with the German people. That was against military regulations. However, in the evening, after we had eaten and they had finished their evening meal, they were in a little house at the back of the main house where we stayed. We invited them to come in and visit, and the grandfather could speak good German, good English. We could not speak German, but he spoke English, and we had a nice visit. And he shared with us some of what it meant to grow up under the Hitler regime, and he gave us some insights into what it was like. He said, for example, that it was not people of his generation that were supporters of Hitler, but Hitler was able to capture the mind of the young people. They were, that's where he got his main support. And we felt that he was not just saying that, trying to make himself look good, you know, but that he really felt that, and that was good for us to understand a little bit of what was going on in the minds of the German people at that time. But the interesting thing was that in that little while, there was such a kind of a friendship established between us in that hour or so we visited, that when it came time for them to go out to their house in the back and for us to go to bed for the night, he said, he came to one of us, he said, if you would like, we'll one of us will stay up tonight and guard in case any German troops would come by, and we'd warn you so that you could take proper protection to protect yourself. And again, you just felt as though kind of a miracle of people who were supposed to be enemies becoming friends and caring about one another. And it's something I've always remembered. And I think it was in a home in France when we were doing the same things. I'm not sure now what country. Well, I don't think it was in Germany. It's possible it was. My memory, it gets a little uncertain here. But one night when we were staying in a home, well, the war was, we knew it was drawing toward a close, and the American troops were looking for souvenirs to take home, looking especially for cameras. So we'd always look through every house, and it was said that when the American soldiers went home after World War II, there wasn't a camera left in Germany. It just cleaned out the cameras. Well, anyway, as we were in this house, and that night we were looking around, see what we might find. We went down in a cellar, and there was a room there, and well, it was a vegetable cellar and fruit cellar, and there were some cupboards in there, and went in there and looked, and here were jars of canned fruit and canned vegetables. And I remember one of the men saying, he said, look at it. He said, this is just like we do at home. This is, they're just like we are. They're, like my mother puts up vegetables, they do the same thing. He said, what? Why are we fighting these people? Why are we so alienated from them when we have so much in common, you know? Well, it was a simple little illustration that I've always remembered that shows that, you know, you get scratch the surface and get down underneath, and we have a lot of the same needs and hopes and problems as anybody else, even though we're separated by language and culture and geography, yet we're still all just human beings. And so those are things I've carried with me through the years, and I've often thought about them and felt that it was good for me to have had that experience. And then I returned after my period in the service was over to go to college and prepare for the ministry. I was I had a technical rating, being not a line officer. I had nothing to do with commanding of troops, but mine was a technical. There was a radio job, and so I had a rating equal to same as a corporal, but it was called a T5. And I went in the service voluntarily, although I knew that my draft number was coming up soon, and so I decided to volunteer and rather than to wait for that. But so that was how I got into the service, was by volunteering. So I guess that's kind of my story.